Ephesians 6, verse 4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. My dear children, if I ever told you, you make me so mad, I would be wrong to say that. Because I am responsible for my anger. You may have done many things that were the occasion, and it may even be right for me to be angry about what you have done. But you didn't make me do anything. If I respond with anger, it is on me that I responded with anger. And if I don't respond with anger, even if perhaps it was due, then it's on me that I didn't respond with anger. You also are responsible for your own anger. You are responsible for your own wrath. But I love you. I love you in part because God has created us to have that warm father and child relationship with one another. Even many of the pagans have a fellow feeling and an affection that is between the father and the children. There are many who don't. But I also love you because God, who has redeemed me by Christ's blood, is by his Spirit working out the character of Christ in me and in my new nature given by God's grace. I love you. And in that kind of love, the love in which what I want the most is for you to belong to the Lord and to know him and to walk with him, I want you to obey verses 1 through 3. You remember from last week. Obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Is it honoring to respond to your father or mother with wrath, with anger? No, that's called a temper tantrum. And the first couple thousand times you have a temper tantrum, you hear something like, you had a temper tantrum. God says, honor your father or your mother. And having a temper tantrum is dishonoring. It says, I wish I was God. I wish I was the mom. I wish I was the dad. Is dishonoring. And so there's an important command here for those who are parents, as I hope all of you, recognizing what God values in his word, are eager to be, looking forward one day to being good and godly parents to whom God gives that holy seed for you to bring up in the discipline and instruction, the training and admonition of the Lord. And although it would be wrong of you to tell me, you made me so angry, Dad. Yet the Holy Spirit is telling me here, isn't he, that there are things that I can do that can make it harder for you to obey the Lord, and that there are things that I can do to make it easier for you to obey the Lord. If I am being harsh with you, or unnecessarily, illegitimately demanding, or severe, or ungenerous, or unaffectionate, there's a lot of things that I as a father can do that would make it much harder for you not to be angry. But if I'm being loving and gentle and giving you good instruction and showing you how to do the things that are asked of you, and many other things like that, it makes it much easier for you to honor me and obey me and not to respond with wrath. And so parents have a responsibility to see that in loving their children, one of the greatest responsibility in loving our children is helping you know Jesus' love for you, love him because he first loved you, and because you love him, keep his commandments. This is very important. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. But I, even if I were doing everything correctly, which you will never experience, but even if I was being a godly and faithful father, which I hope by grace you are experiencing, you might still respond with wrath. Why? Why do you think? Because you are sinners. You got to be that way because you have parents who are sinners. And so God gives us His means of His grace by which He graciously works in you. You were told, in the beginning of verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so you are told to honor the Lord by obeying your parents and depend upon the Lord to help you, enable you to obey your parents and to honor your father and your mother. Now, depending upon the Lord means using His means. Somebody who never goes to church, never reads the Bible, never prays, never takes the Lord's Supper, but tells themselves, because they're stirring up their feelings in a way that they manufacture in their head, I'm trusting the Lord to grow me. And then they find themselves sinning all over the place and never doing what they ought to do. And they say, why aren't I growing? I'm trusting the Lord. Is such a person trusting the Lord? Is it trust to have the Lord tell you a bunch of the ways that He works in you and then not use any of them? That's not trust. That's just a lying feeling in your heart or a lying idea in your head. Well, if you are to obey your parents in the Lord, you need help from me. Because part of the means of grace that the Lord has given you is the training and admonition of the Lord. So as parents have to give discipline, training, and parents have to give instruction, the Word of God. And why the Word of God? Because parents can't give their own discipline. If a parent only gives discipline when they are angry, that's not the discipline of the Lord. If a parent who gives the discipline of the Lord gives discipline on an occasion because they are angry, still not the discipline of the Lord. Right? It must be the rod of the reproof that Proverbs talks about that drives the folly out of the heart of a child. And so it must come with words. And what kind of words? All kinds of manipulations about how you make me feel? Or what kind of awesome things that I'm going to do for you if you get to be better? Or making you feel like you're in charge and kind of sneakily giving you choices of different ways to obey me? No. It's the instruction of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord. That means that you need to be Bible scholars now, studying and learning the Bible and what it teaches and how it fits together, and especially how it connects to Christ. Because one day you're going to have, Lord willing, little boys and girls that you're going to have to tell them what Jesus says, and that you're going to have to tell them that Jesus is the only hope they have of forgiveness, and you're going to have to tell them that the character of Jesus applied to them by the Spirit of Jesus is the only hope they have of obeying the Redeemer who has forgiven them. And so you have to learn these things now. And God helping me and God helping your mom will be teaching you these things now so that they will be the way that your heart already operates with Christ. And with your heart operating with Christ that way, these things that I teach you today, Lord your God is one, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. These things that I teach you today, they must be on your heart, says Deuteronomy 6. And then what happens when they're on the heart of a parent? And you must speak of them with whom? With your children. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you go out, when you come in. Have them as frontlets between your eyes, the text of your hands first, controlling everything you do. Frontlets between your eyes, the Bible controlling how you see everything. On the doorposts of your house. As if to say, the family name of this house is not Hakim as much as it is those who know and obey and follow the Bible. On the doorpost of your house. It doesn't mean, go to Hobby Lobby and buy a bunch of scripture quotes to hang around your house. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what Deuteronomy 6 means. But in order for you to teach and lead your children that way one day, you will first have to have those words in your own heart. If it's not in your own heart, if it's not your way of life and thinking, it will ring hollow and your children will see right through it. Mm-hmm. And you will train up perhaps some theologically informed hypocrites. Or even worse, those who think that they have seen Christianity growing up and reject something that was not Christianity. But you would end up being the occasion on which they have rejected Christ. So, a little verse with a lot of duties for fathers and mothers. But look at me, boys. He names the father specifically. The responsibility for your house being like this rests upon you. And you need to select wisely for a wife. Because if you and your wife together are not doing this, you do not get to say, well, it's her fault. Because he addresses you, your responsibility. This means, my dear daughters, that as we look for a husband for you, as you evaluate also potential candidates for husbands in your future, one of the most important things is not only that he would be the kind of man who washes you by the water of the word, like we saw at the end of chapter 5, but that he would be one of those Bible-controlled, Jesus-loving, Jesus-depending-upon men. Because how will he lead your home and train your children and instruct them if he's not even like that himself? It's not just that he has to be called a Christian and be a member in good standing of a church. God forbid you would ever consider someone who wasn't those things. This is a pretty high calling, a pretty tall order in Ephesians 6 verse 4 for what you will need to be for your children. But by grace, the Lord does this for those whom he brings to him, to himself through faith in Christ. Let's ask him to be doing this in us and in your future spouse and children. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that you have been the perfect Father. That whereas we deserve your wrath, and we are full of sin, yet you have ever been so gentle with us in your providence. And that you have, by your many wise, often difficult and painful providences in our lives, that you have trained us, and you have given us your word, and you have set over us elders, and you have given us parents, that we might have not only your training, but your instruction. And we pray, O God, that you would make us to know love in this, that you did not withhold Christ, but that you gave him for us. And that knowing your love for us, we would love you because you first loved us. We love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that your word would be in our hearts. And that because we love you, we would keep your commandments. Help me and Heather, as we try to follow the teaching of this verse, pray for each of the children that you would be not only blessing to them the following of this verse in this house, but that as you grow them, you would be preparing them to follow it in their own homes. Lord, we pray for those whom they are going to marry. Give us wisdom, O God, that we would not choose poorly in a way by which we would have no expectation of seeing this repeated in the next generation. But we do pray that you would save and grow and guard whomever it is that you are preparing to be wife or husband to someone who's in this room, and parents to their children, that they too would provoke not their children to wrath, but that they would bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Grant that it would be so, we pray. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.